one of the things I want you to think about in this nation, we're trying to keep, let's say, the Bible or the church or religion out of the government. But at that point, I'm just telling you, folks, there's nothing to keep the government acting rightly. People are wicked. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there are who find it. So if you think about things that way, a majority of the people who have jobs and they're working in government are evil, and they're going to be making mistakes, and they're going to be influenced by their upbringing, by the National Education Association, whoever it was that decided what they were supposed to learn that year. And they're not going to be basing their decisions necessarily on fundamental rights or wrongs. So catastrophe is coming if we cannot put on the brakes. And actually, at one point, go ahead and acknowledge that this is a Christian nation, that the purpose of government is basically, and one of the things I did before I came to the show today, I was reading Sir William Blackstone. I do that. I don't do it for inspiration. I end up getting inspired, but I do it for my own education, so I make sure I know what my reference is. But one of the comments that Blackstone was making was that the whole purpose of having a constitutional government that is based on the laws of England at the time was so that it would actually protect our religion and our civil liberties. And it actually put religion as the first reason for having the government protecting our rights. Actually, I've got a Blackstone moment here. And what I'm going to be doing periodically through this radio show, and when we go 5 days a week, you're going to be hearing more about what's happening in the General Assembly, because I'll have time to actually go there and be interviewing delegates. But it won't just be a casual conversation where we got them to call here. We're actually doing research on the legislation that they're putting before the General Assembly. We're going to challenge them on some of their thinking about some of the bills they're proposing and its basis. And what happens, I find that we educate delegates and senators that way. And then every now and then I'll be bringing up some older writers and I'll quote them and I'll make comments on it. And we can talk about it and see how it applies on the issues of the day. Today I did a little research. I looked up on the internet and I typed in Reagan quotes. Reagan has got some great quotes. There's some that are kind of goofy, but there's some there that are so true that they're worth quoting and inspiring people to on this radio program. Of course, if you've got a comment, you call 465-6700. But here's one of my Blackstone moments. He was making a comment about the 1688 English Bill of Rights or Bill of Liberties. And what he was talking about was the Constitution and constitutional rights. And as I was reading his commentary, I thought about, you know, when I was growing up, you would hear very conservative people complaining when a court would grant somebody some strange religious accommodation. And they'd say, oh, that's crazy. You know, everybody else has to obey this law except those guys. What is this? What's going on? You can't just do that. And so there was kind of a move to say, well, it's just ridiculous. It's just very unchristian to grant people these religious accommodations. They need to conform to the norm like everyone else. Well, that's actually not appropriate. That's not consistent with American law, but we are not being trained in American law, so we get confused. But if you go back to Blackstone, he was talking about this Bill of Rights that we got ours from, copying the English. He said that they consist in a number of private immunities. And what an immunity is, it means the law doesn't touch you. It has no jurisdiction. It has no effect on you, just like a disease would have no effect on you because you're immune. Like it can be a disease all day long, but it doesn't affect you. And that's what an immunity is. When you talk about churches, oh, churches are exempt from taxation. Actually, they're immune from taxation. They can get an exemption if they apply for one. It's kind of silly for them to do so because they're already immune. And if you look in the tax code, you don't stop at 501 in Title 26. Go on down to Section 508. And they don't use the word exemption when talking about churches. They say that churches are accepted from this statute. And the reason why they would be accepted from the statute is not because Congress wants to do them a favor. It's because churches are immune. So that's an immunity. So when Blackstone, he said that the constitutions provide these private immunities, which is not required by laws of society to be sacrificed to public convenience. I'm going to say that in modern English terms. is he saying that these immunities that come in the Bill of Rights, like the freedom of religion, are something that cannot be sacrificed to public convenience. And I'm going to bring up something that was really strange that happened. We had a kind of a banter and email that happened in my life recently. You know, you get these strange emails. And so one day it came by and it said, the heading, the subject line was, "It makes you think." And I knew the person who was sending it. So I said, well, I respect this person. I might as well just read the email. It was a picture of Mr. Obama, and he was on a stage with Hillary Clinton. And she had her hand on her heart. She was kind of looking off someplace. There was somebody behind her. I don't know who it was. I can't remember at the time or who it was. But they had their hand on their heart. And it was like it was getting ready for a Pledge of Allegiance or a national anthem. I have no idea. You know, the music, the flute and the lyre and all that kind of stuff was about to play. We don't know what was going to go on in this picture. But Mr. Obama's standing there kind of casually slump-shouldered, almost at a parade rest, but his legs were just a little bit bent, and his arms or hands were kind of folded at the fingers behind his back. He was just standing casually. It went on and said his middle name is Hussein, and, you know, I don't know. He went into some strange things about his motives. What were his motives? Was he patriotic? Was he all this kind of stuff? What struck me was I thought, well, what if the guy, I don't know the guy's convictions. I don't know what his purposes were. I have no idea. And we don't know. Maybe the music hadn't started yet. Maybe the flag hadn't shown up. Maybe it really wasn't time to, you know, take the posture or whatever. We don't know what the situation was. But I thought, occurred to me, what if this guy has a religious conviction that he worships God alone and that he doesn't pay homage to a physical flag? Now you say, oh, you know, there's people gave their lives, and, you know, I agree. I agree people give their lives. They're great. They're patriots. And I admire people who are living today who have not died but are still fighting for our freedom. It's great. I love that. I love that a lot. I love people who are courageous. And in the Bible, it really blesses people that are courageous. In fact, if you go to Revelation, you get to the back, it really talks about people who are cowards. And the cowards are the first ones listed, and all the people that are going to get all the destruction, you know, the liars, the idolaters, and all the people that are listed that are going to have this judgment. The first one on the list is cowards. It's Revelation 21:8. So I'm all for courageous people doing the right thing for society. They're loving their neighbor as herself. And the reason they're loving their neighbor as herself and putting their lives on the line is most likely because they fear God and they love God first. But these people died so that somebody who loves God would not be abused if it would actually be their duty of religion to not salute the flag or not say a national anthem. If you look in the Bible, there was an instance where there was this guy, Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael, who some people know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and that was actually their new names. Their original names, before they were stolen away to Babylon, it was Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. See, you learn something here. There was a situation, we know it was a big idol or something, you know, sort of like it's about the tenth of the size of the obelisk in Washington, D.C., or I guess about a fifth of the size of that. There's a big thing kind of stuck up someplace, and then all of a sudden the music played. You know, I don't know what the music was, but they played the music and everybody bows down. Well, now, today, we don't bow down. We put our hand on our heart. That's a symbol of, it's a worship symbol. Some people listening might be getting disturbed at this, but I want you to think about this. I said, and I shouldn't have done this. I should have just hit delete. But what I did is I said, I've got a suspicion that Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael would have taken the same posture. It was kind of one of these things. I don't know what Mr. Obama's motives are, but what if they were the highest motives? What if they were the highest? How should we react to that? And I'm telling you what, people got upset. I had people telling me later about all these people who are talking about me now because of that email. And they didn't come talk to me. They just talked amongst each other. And I got all these reports of all the slam dunks I was getting verbally from person to person to person to person. Well, that's not very courageous. So that's something to think about. One of the things I thought was, I was reading James Madison in my Madison moment. This is right out of James Madison's writings in this Memorial and Remonstrance Against Religious Assessments that our Virginia law in Virginia Code 57-1 and 2 was motivated by this thing that Mr. Madison wrote. Before I read this, remember, this is patriotic. This is talking about civic and civil duty. This is the utmost in patriotism. This is going back to the Founding Fathers. Let's see what they said. It is the duty of every man to render to the Creator such homage and such only as he believes to be acceptable to him. And when you go to Romans chapter 14 in the Bible, it talks about that every man is accountable to God for what he pays homage to Almighty God for. And it's not for another man to judge. But Mr. Madison said that every man is to render to the Creator such homage and such only as he believes to be acceptable to him. This duty is precedent to the claims of civil society. This duty is precedent, is higher, is first, before our civic duty. It's above our civic duty, he was saying. He goes on and he said, I quoted this before for another reason, before any man can be considered as a member of civil society, he must be considered as a subject, that's below, the governor of the universe. He must be a subject of the governor of the universe before he can be a member of civil society or is considered as one. And then he goes on to say, and if a member of civil society do it with saving of his allegiance to the universal sovereign. It's Mr. Madison saying that if he is a member of civil society, if he gives his loyalty and his allegiance, so to speak, but he gives his service to his society to love his neighbor as himself in his community in the Commonwealth of Virginia or whatever, if he is a member of that civil society, he does it saving of his allegiance to the universal sovereign. So what if a man has been reading Madison? And he's been reading the book of Daniel. And he goes, wait a minute, if you're asking me to say a pledge of allegiance, I can only do it saving my allegiance to the universal sovereign. That there's some people that when you say, I pledge allegiance, you know, they can only pledge allegiance to the creator of the universe. That's a higher order for them. We cannot judge a man. Now, I don't know what Mr. Obama's situation was. We don't know. He might have, you know, taken the common posture and moved on smartly after the picture was taken. We have no idea. But I challenged folks to be thinking about that. Who was the better civil servant? Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael? Or was it the people and the satraps and all these people who were actually bowing down to the idol when the music was played? You know who it turned out to be the best civic duty guys, the best civil servants, ones with the greatest loyalty and allegiance to the king? Even though these guys were captured slaves, it turned out to be these three guys who wouldn't sing the song, who wouldn't bow down when the music was played. And they said, hey, Lord, make you live forever, king. We love you, baby. But we can't do it. We'd love to be able to, but we can't because we love God. And we love you, King, because we love God. And we love you so much, we're willing to let you put us in the fiery furnace because we'll show our love to you by not defying what we believe our duty to be to the universal sovereign, the creator of heaven and earth. Those guys were better patriots. Now, everybody around them, what were they thinking? How much you want to bet all those people who are bowing down were thinking, look at those rebellious guys. They're not loyal to the king. They're not obeying the king's edict. But if they said, wait a minute, king, you and I and all these guys bowing down here, we're actually subject to your boss, king. And king, you're subject to that boss. We would be doing you a disservice if we violated law, not the statute. Sometimes the statute we can't obey because there's a law that's bigger. And because we love God and we love our neighbor as ourself, we're even willing to look like rebels, even though we're not. You get falsely accused of being rebellious, or falsely accused of being unpatriotic, or falsely accused of being irreverent toward those who have gone before us to secure our liberty. We're willing to stand because we love God and we love our neighbor as ourselves. That's the kind of crazy stuff we're going to be saying on this Faith and Freedom show. And we're going to be quoting Madison we're going to be quoting the Bible, not to give a weird new doctrine, but let's get back to the original precepts, the original concepts, the things that you're going to find in the Bible, and you're going to find it in the founders of this nation because they were reading the Bible and they were applying truth to the situation, and America prospered. When you do that which is right, you're going to reap results. It's good. It's good stuff. So that was my Obama Madison moment.